If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to keep them open to that passage that Brother Chuck read from 2 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, the fool's death. The fool's death. And just for you that weren't here last week, I'll remind you again that I left my regular glasses down at my father-in-law's in Arkansas. I'm going back in a couple weeks. I told him just to hang on to them and I'll pick them up. So I got these $20 reading glasses from Myers when I got home last Saturday, and I can read with them. But when I look through them like this, everybody looks fuzzy. And so that's why I'm wearing them down like this, so I can see my notes. But when I look up at you, I can see you. Now, some of our ladies this morning were mocking me. They were wearing their glasses down on their nose like this. I thought it made them look a whole lot smarter. But I'm not going to say anything because looks might, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. I'm going to get it, I know. But that's why I look like this. So I'll have my glasses back in a week or so and be back to more normal. Ladies, I'm sorry. I just couldn't help making that comment. You are just as sweet as ever, so just be forgiving as you always are. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to introduce you to the characters that are mentioned in this passage of Scripture. And so that would be Joab, Abishai, his brother, Abner, and then the one brother that was killed, Asahel, that's mentioned there. So I want to introduce you to them, make sure you know who they all are. Then I want to tell you about the Battle of Gibeon, where Asahel was killed. There, that's mentioned in verse 30 at Gibeon in the battle. I want to just remind you of what happened in that battle. Then I want to explain why David made that statement in verse 33, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." I want to tell you what why he said that, what he meant when he made that statement, and then I want to make the application of what it teaches us today. I want to accomplish those things this morning. So let me first of all introduce you to the characters. The first two that are mentioned in verse 30, Joab, Asahel, and I probably won't say these names, I'll do my best, Abishai and Asahel. These were three brothers. And you don't need to turn back to it, but if in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 2, where God has all the genealogies, all the begats of the Bible, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. In 1 Chronicles chapter 2, God was naming the sons of Jesse. And Jesse had seven sons. The first six we don't know very much about, but Jesse's seventh son was named David. And David was the shepherd boy, the one that killed Goliath, that one that became the second king of Israel. Also, not a well-known fact, is that Jesse had two daughters. David had six brothers and two sisters. One of his sisters' names was, and I should have let Brother Chuck read these, Zeruru and Abigail. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, that Zeruru had three sons. And her three sons were named Abishai, Joab, and Asahel. Okay? So these three boys, these three men that we read about in 2 Samuel, were the sons of David's sister, which made them his nephews. Okay, so I want you to stay with me. They were his three nephews. Now, Joab, as we read about in 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, was the leader of David's army. He was David's general. He was the captain of the host, as they call him in the Bible. And he received that position from David because one day David and his men went to the city of Jerusalem. In fact, let me read it for you from 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus. And it was called Jebus back in that day, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, "Thou shalt not come hither. In other words, you can't come into this city. Nevertheless, David took the city of Zion, which is the city of David, and David said, whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of his mother, went first up and was chief. Okay? So, again, here's the city. David came to Jerusalem. There were people that lived there. They said, you're not coming in here. You're not taking our city. And so David said, okay, whoever leads the people up and takes the city, I'm going to appoint to be chief of the army. He'll be the captain of the host. He'll be the general. He'll be the one that'll be in charge of the troops. And Joab, one of his nephews, the second son born to his sister, led a group of men up, and they took the city of Jerusalem, and he became the general of the army. Now, he had a brother, as we read about there, named Abishai. He was also a warrior. And I won't have you take the time to turn to these verses, but let me just remind you something of this nephew, of this man. He was one of David's mighty men. In the Bible, there's two different lists of the mighty men that served in David's army. There were about 33 of them. One of the other ones we know of was Uriah, the one that David had killed. But there were 30-some mighty men that were men of distinction, men that did different things in fighting, as an act of, in wars and battles, that made them become part of this list. Abishai was one of them. The thing that he did that put him on this list of David's mighty men, and it tells us about this in 2 Samuel chapter 23, one time he took a spear and by himself went up against 300 men and killed all 300 men by himself with a spear. And that placed him on the list of David's mighty men. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, another story of something this man did. There was a son of a giant named Ishbibenob. I'm not going to try to say that twice. The Bible says that his spear weighed over 300 shekels, and he got in his mind that he was going to kill King David. And Abishai went out and fought this son of a giant, who was pretty big himself, to be carrying a spear around that weighed 300 shekels. Abishai went out with a sword and killed this giant. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, we read the story when Saul was still king, and God had appointed David to be the next king, and Saul was trying to kill him. And Saul and his army came out after David, and they searched for him all day. They couldn't find him anywhere, so they pitched camp and went to sleep. And David and some of his men saw this, and David said to two guys, hey, which one of you will go with me? I'm going to go down into Saul's camp. And Abishai, this nephew that we're talking about, went with David down to the camp. I mean, they came right up to Saul where he was sleeping. And Abishai said this, hey, the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hands. Let me take Saul's spear, which was stuck in the ground right beside where he was sleeping. He said, let me take Saul's spear and I'll run him through. It only takes me one time. I can do it with one shot of this spear. I'll put it right through his heart. And your enemy will be dead. The one that's trying to kill you will be dead. And David said, oh, no, no. No man lifts up his hand against the Lord's anointed and succeeds. He's still God's man. He's still the king of Israel. We're not going to kill him. And so what they did was they stole his spear and his water bottle. They took it. They went to a distant place and they called out, Saul, Saul, wake up! And said, hey, I could have killed you. But instead, we just took your spear and your water bottle. This man was a brave man. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, the nation of Amnon and Syria had banded together, and they had come to attack the Israelites when David was king. Again, Joab, one of Abishai's brother, was in charge of the army, and when these forces came to attack Israel, they were so outnumbered that what Joab did was, he said to Abishai, look, I'm going to give you half the army, and you go fight the Syrians, I'll fight the Ammonites. If the Syrians are too strong for you, I'll come and help you. And if the Ammonites are too strong for me, you come and help me. And the Lord used these two men to win a great battle that day. In a battle where they were greatly outnumbered, these two men. That's where you read in the story where Joab said, hey, let us play like men. Let us be men today. Let us fight for our God. Let us fight for our people. and they won a battle where they were greatly outnumbered. And so both Joab and Abishai, two of David's nephews, were mighty, mighty men of battle. They were mighty warriors. So that's two we read about in this story. Now, let me introduce you to the next character, Abner. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner. Abner served King Saul, the first king of Israel. He was Saul's cousin. Okay? In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 50, "And the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle." So if you're the son of somebody, if my uncle has a son, that makes him my cousin. Right? Okay, good. Let me make sure we keep everything straight. So Abner and Saul were cousins. And Abner was the leader of Saul's army. He was the captain of his host. He was Saul's general. Now, let me tell you about the Battle of Gibeon. It's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 2. Just from the chapter, it's the chapter before where we read this morning. Saul was already dead. Okay, King Saul had already died in battle. He was wounded fighting the Philistines. You remember the story. He said to the person that carried his armor, "I'm wounded, I'm going to die. Go ahead and kill me so the Philistines won't come and torture me before I die." His armor bearer said, "No way, I'm not going to do it." And so Saul took a sword and fell on his own sword and killed himself. Saul was dead. The tribe of Judah, the tribe of David, he came from the tribe of Judah, had come to Hebron, where David was, and they'd already made him king of the tribe of Judah. The 11 other tribes of Israel, okay? Again, Saul was the first king over all 12 tribes. The 11 other tribes of Israel had followed Abner's advice, and again, Abner was Saul's general, because Abner had taken one of Saul's sons, Ishbosheth, one of his sons, and made him king after Saul had killed himself. So Ishbosheth was king of the 11 other tribes. Okay, Abner was his general. Abner was the one that put him in power. But Abner got mad at Ishbosheth because, you see, King Saul had a concubine. And Abner went into that concubine. And Ishbosheth rebuked Abner for it. And Abner said, "Who are you to rebuke me? I'm the one that led the people to make you king. You don't have any right to rebuke me." And so what Abner decided, "I'm not going to serve this guy as king. I'm going to lead the people of Israel, these 11 tribes that have this guy as king, I'm going to lead them to David. We're going to make David king over the whole nation of Israel." And so to start this thing in motion, Abner took 20 men with him. And they went to Gibeon, where David was at that particular time. And Abner had a private... No, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. So remember that, because that'll be important in just a minute, okay? But I'm getting ahead of myself. That wasn't Gibeon. That was at Hebron. What happened at Gibeon, after Saul died, David was still just the king of the tribe of Judah. And so Abner and Joab decided they were going to meet and have it out. And they met at a place called Gibeon. It was around a well. It started out by Joab and Abner saying, "Hey, let's pick 12 men from each of our armies and let them fight each other." So they picked 12 men. These 12 men came together at this well in Gibeon, and basically they grabbed hold of each other and they run each other through. They killed each other. And then a battle started between these two armies. In this battle, the Bible says that Joab and the forces of David lost 19 men. And in this battle, the forces of Abner lost 360, I'm going to give you the right number. 360 men. So, the men of Abner were really defeated by the men of Joab. Now, in this battle, the third brother, Asahel, Joab and Abishai's brother, the Bible says he was light on his feet as a roe. That's where John Deere got their tagline. Runs like a deer. That's what Asahel could do. Is everybody with me? Okay, he could run like a deer. And Asahel decided, I'm going to kill Abner. I'm going to kill him. Abner was in his chariot riding along. Here comes this guy that could run just like a deer chasing him. Abner looks behind him. He says, are you Asahel? He said, yes, I am. I'm going to kill you. And Abner says, now look, there's plenty of men. Why don't you go pick somebody else out to kill? Don't follow me. Go kill somebody else. There's plenty of people that you can kill. He says, if I have to kill you, if I have to defend myself and kill you, how am I going to face your brother Joab? How am I going to face him? Go find somebody else to kill. And Asahel wouldn't. And the Bible says that Abner poked the end of his spear through Asahel. In fact, let me read it to you. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside, Asahel, he refused to turn aside and kill somebody else. Wherefore, Abner, with the hinder part of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out from behind him. In other words, he ran him all the way through, under the fifth rib. Okay, now, let me go back to the story I was telling you before. Abner got mad at Ishbosheth. He says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to make David the king of all Israel. So he came to Hebron, had a private meeting with David, and said, David, I'm going to lead the other 11 tribes, and we're all going to make you king. David had a meal for him and said, okay, you go back and do it. Joab was gone when Abner was there. He came back after Abner had left and found out that Abner had been there. He goes into the king and says, David, what are you doing? Don't you know that Abner only came to spy on us? Don't you know that this line that he's handing you is a trick? He just came to deceive us. And Joab sent messengers after Abner, and Abner came back. And Joab met him and said, Abner, I need to talk to you. And they went to a well outside the city, and here's what the Bible says. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib. He wanted to kill him the same way that Abner killed his brother. And he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. All this was done without David knowing it. When David found out, he said, we're going to mourn for Abner. They followed the casket, the bier, as Brother Chuck read for us. And in mourning for Abner, David made this statement, died Abner as a fool dieth. Now let me tell you what David was saying when he said that. He said, Abner, you died like a fool for three reasons. Number one, you put yourself in the hands of your enemy. You put yourself in the hands of Joab. He knew Joab wanted revenge. He knew Joab wanted to kill him. Abner should have been on his guard. He should have come into that meeting with Joab with his sword drawn and his spear out. He should have had the 20 men that were with him come to that meeting with him. He should have insisted, hey, Joab, if you want me to meet with you, I want David there. I'm not going to meet with you by myself. I know you want revenge for me killing your brother. I know you want to kill me to get back for what I did to your brother Asahel. He should have said, I'm not going to come and meet with you by myself. And if we're going to meet, we're going to meet inside the city. And I'll tell you why in just a second. But we're going to meet inside the city. There's going to be other people there. David's going to be there. But instead of doing that, Abner said, okay, I'll meet with you by myself outside of the city. So he placed himself in the hands of his enemy. Number two, he didn't use the things that God had given him. He didn't use the resources, the things that God had given him. Look, the Bible says, and we didn't read it in verse 34, it says, thy hands, talking about Abner, thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. What David was saying, hey, Joab didn't have you tied up. I mean, he didn't overcome you and tie your hands together and tie your feet together. You're Saul's captain. You're the host of the army. You're an experienced fighting man. You should have used your experience and the strength and the training that God had provided for you through your life, and you should have defended yourself against Abner or against Joab. Abner, you had it within yourself to fight Joab. You had it within yourself to defend yourself. And yet, as we read this story, there's no mention of a fight. There's no mention of Abner trying to defend himself at all using the things that God gave him. And then number three, he died just outside the city of Hebron. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate. In other words, he never let him pass through the gate of Hebron. Now that's important, because Hebron was one of the six cities of refuge that God had set up in the days of Moses. These six cities were scattered throughout the land, and if you killed anybody by accident, or if you killed anybody in self-defense, then you could flee to one of these cities, and those that wanted to kill you in revenge could not do it. You were protected in that city of refuge. For example, and the Bible spells this out back in the first few books of the Old Testament, if you were just throwing stones, I mean just for the sport of it, and somebody came into your range and you hit that person with a stone and killed them, you could flee to one of these cities and be protected. You didn't do it on purpose. You did it by accident. The Bible gives another example. If you're out chopping wood one day and the head of your axe flies off and hits somebody that's with you in the head and they die, you could flee to one of these cities and be protected. Now, if you premeditated, in other words, planned to kill somebody, and you went to one of these cities, and those that wanted revenge came to you, hey, this guy planned to kill my brother, or this guy planned to kill my friend, they would haul you out of that city and deliver you to this person that wanted revenge. But if you did it by accident, or if you did it in self-defense, like Abner did to Asahel, then you could flee to one of these cities. Hebron was one. So if Abner had said, no, Joab, I'm not meeting with you outside the city, we're going inside the city, Joab could not have taken revenge on Abner, because Abner would have been in one of the cities of refuge. And he could have not have killed him. So you say, what a wonderful story. Be a neat story to make a movie out of. Exciting, it's got excitement, it's got adventure, got intrigue. Make a great movie. But what does all of that have to do with us today? What does it teach us today? I think it teaches us a lot. Because I think there's some people here this morning that are making the same mistakes that Abner did. Let me tell you what those are. Number one, you're putting yourself in the hand of your enemy. Satan is your enemy. The devil's your enemy. He wants you to die, both physically and spiritually. He wants to take you to hell. In 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, your foe, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan is sneaky. He's lying to you, just like Joab lied to Abner. See, I think when Joab sent messengers to Abner, here's what he said. Hey, Abner, come back. David wants us to meet to plan out this strategy. David's telling me to send messengers after you so you'll come back and meet with me so that we can plan out this thing that you want to do to make him king. And Abner believed those lies and came back and put himself in the hand of his enemy, Joab, and was killed. Satan will lie to you today, and he is lying to you today. He's saying, hey, You don't need to worry about all that church stuff. You don't need to worry about all that God stuff. I'll take care of you. In fact, you're a God. You can be just like God yourself. I mean, that's what he told Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he's still handing out that line today. You don't need to be worried about hell. God's a God of love. He won't send anybody to hell. He loves you too much to send you to hell. Don't worry about that stuff. Doesn't matter what your Sunday school teacher says. Doesn't matter what some loudmouth preacher says. Doesn't matter what your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa says. Look, you just listen to me. I'll take care of you. Just trust me. And I'll take care of you. And Satan is telling lies to some people in this room this morning, and you're doing just like Abner. You're believing those lies. And you're putting yourself in his hands, depending on him to take care of you. Number two, you're not using the resources that God's given you. God's given you the Bible. In the Bible, it warns us about Satan. It tells us he's the father of all lies. It tells us what he's done when he left heaven and caused a third of the angels to come with him. It tells us what he did in the Garden of Eden when he tricked Eve into eating of the fruit and getting Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. I mean, it tells us how he went before God and accused Job. Said, oh yeah, Job's only serving you because you made it good for him. Take away everything he has and he'll curse you. That's what Satan does. And God's given us the Bible to warn us about Satan. You remember when Jesus was tempted of Satan in the wilderness, those 40 days and 40 nights. What did Jesus use as his defense? He used this book. Every time Satan tempted him, Jesus said, it is written. And some of you are believing Satan lies, and you're not using what God gave you in this book to know that he's lying to you. God's given you parents, he's given you grandparents, he's given you friends that love you and want to warn you about what Satan's trying to do. In some cases, he's given you children that know about God and know about Jesus, and they're going to their parents and they're talking to their parents about God and about eternity and about the scheme that Satan has for all eternity, and yet you're ignoring those people that love you. You're ignoring those people that have your best interest in mind because you're ignoring their warnings. God's given you, some of you, a church and Sunday school teachers and preachers that take this book and from this book week after week teach you about not only about Satan but about how much God loves you and what God did for all of us. And then he's given us the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. But the good news, the gospel of the Bible, is that God loved every single one of us. Instead of us having to pay our own sin debt, God said, I'll send my son, my only begotten son, Jesus, and he'll pay for your sin, every single one of them. Took him to the cross. And he died in our place, not for any sin that he committed, but for every one of mine, every one of yours. That's what Jesus did on Calvary. And yet, some this morning are ignoring that precious gift of salvation that God has given to every person. You're placing yourself in the hands of your enemy. And then number three, and this is the saddest thing of all. Just like it was sad that Abner died just inches or a few feet away from safety inside the city of refuge, some of you will die on the very threshold of salvation. You see, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You can be saved right now. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you can do that right now. The only thing that's stopping you from doing it is you. The only thing that's stopping you from taking, I mean, all Abner had to do was take one step or a few steps and get inside the gate of Hebron. That would have given him safety. That would have protected his life. And all some of you have to do this morning is take one step and say, Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, But I believe that Jesus Christ, your Son, that you went to the cross, you died for me, you paid for my sins. And all God is waiting for this morning to save you. All God is waiting for this morning to keep you out of hell. All God is waiting for this morning to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All God is waiting for this morning to start your mansion is heaven. It's for you to take one step toward Him and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Save me. And yet the sad part is some of you are right on that threshold. You're right up to the door. You understand the gospel. You understand what you need to do. And the only thing you need to do is take one more step. It's just take one more step to get in to safety. One more step to get into salvation. And the sad part is some of you will leave here this morning not taking that step. If you're not careful, you'll die just like Abner did. As a fool. Because you wouldn't take that last step that said, Dear Jesus, be my Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And if you've done that this morning, great. Your sins are forgiven. We're still sinners, but our sins are forgiven because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. But if you've never done it, then you still stand under the penalty of sin. And there's no other way to get out from underneath it except taking that final step and saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. This morning, I urge you, don't die like a fool. Don't die like Abner did. He died unnecessarily. He could have lived. He could have played a bigger part in the history of Israel, serving David. But he died. He died on the threshold of salvation because he didn't take that final step. Please don't do that this morning. Take that final step. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Today's the day of salvation. For every single person in this room that's never been saved, today's the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful story from the history of your people. Thank you for what it teaches us. I pray for those that are here this morning that have never taken that last step. They've never asked Jesus to be their Savior. They know they're a sinner. They know that Jesus came. They know He died on Calvary. But Father, please help them to understand that He did that for them. That He did that to pay for their sins. And they can have that salvation, that gift of salvation that the Bible talks about, if they'll just come and receive it. And they do that by asking Jesus to be their Savior. Man, woman, boy, girl, first time in church, 100th time in church, doesn't make any difference, Father. Speak to them right now. Show them their need of Christ. Help them to make that decision right where they sit, right now, and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for Christians here. You know what's in our heart, minds this morning. You know the things that are troubling us. You know decisions that we need to make. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us as well. And we would be obedient. And you would use this time of invitation to help us make decisions, to help us set a new course in some of our lives to do those things that you want us to do. Bless this time of invitation. We give it to your hands and ask you to work. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.